Ladies and gentlemen, now it's Too Late with Alan Moses.
Welcome back to It's Too Late. I am your host, Alan Mosley, joined as always by the number one producer in late night. It's Dave Willimowski. Dave, how are you doing?
Guys?
Hi, guys.
Doing good. I feel like it's been a minute since we hung out.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Well, I asked everybody in the pre-show if they missed us, and not a single person said yes. So,
okay.
That yeah, we did get a couple. You guys were gone? Question mark.
Still doing that.
So
show?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, I'm not going to feel too bad about it because we normally we would take off the week of the live event, which, by the way, oh boy, I think I tell you what, the sixth annual Is Too Late show, which is not 3 weeks away tomorrow. Tomorrow and 3 weeks, the early arrivals will be here for the sixth annual It's Too Late live show. It's Saturday, May 18th in beautiful Columbia, Tennessee. I think what I'm going to tell people is actually the early bird tickets are now gone. And so the tickets are now going to be back to regular price. So if you didn't get your $15 ticket, no, they're now $50. So
ouch.
You know, we had them on sale since January. So for all those people that have waited to the last minute, you know.
And they're not getting any cheaper. So you're going to want to.
Yeah. Well, the only tickets we have available now are the VIPs and the super VIPs. So get ready to make Ryan a wristband is what I'm saying. Okay. Yeah. Or anybody else. I mean, if your name just happens to be Ryan and you needed a ticket, I'm not saying I know of anyone that matches that description.
For instance, a Ryan might. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, if you were a Ryan and you needed to get a ticket, then I'm just giving you a heads up to, you know, get out your wallet. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Without your VIP-ness.
Get out what?
VIP-ness.
Oh, I thought you said get out your penis. I was like, no, we won't be accepting that in lieu of paying it. Sad to say, but
not
no.
This year.
That's not worth $15. I'm too mad. What's supply and demand, Dave? There's, you know, we're way oversaturated.
And,
really covered in penises over there, aren't you, Dave? I'm sorry. Leading off tonight's stories, women's basketball star Caitlin Clark is in the news. Do we have a picture of Caitlin Clark?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there she is. Oh, my God. Clark's rookie salary is $76,000, which might seem a little low.
Okay.
Now, compared to the rookie salary of NBA's Victor Wembanyama. Wembanyama, I don't know. He's black and from Europe, whatever. He actually makes $12 million for his rookie. I know, right? We're in the long line of work and not talented and not tall. Yeah. And this disparity has led to calls of inequality.
Of course it has.
Of course it has. Even President Biden weighed in on the topic. He actually tweeted this out. Well, I mean, let's be honest. Whoever changes his diapers tweeted this out. Women in sports continue to push new boundaries and inspire us all with missed layups. But right now we're seeing that even if you're the best, women are not paid their fair share. It's time that we give our daughters the same opportunities as our sons and ensure women are paid what they deserve. I tell you what, that's awfully moral high ground that the president is seeking to claim right there, being the leader of the Democratic Party and all, when, I don't know if you noticed this, but not a single Democrat in Congress voted to ban mentally ill men from competing in women's sports. Yeah, funny how that works. But I tell you what, okay, I'm willing to be convinced there's a problem. So, hey, let's just take a look at the numbers, Dave. Let's look at the financials. Now, comparing the NBA and the WNBA, turns out the NBA generated $10 billion in revenue last season, while the WNBA only churned out $60 million. And the average NBA player's salary is $9.6 million, while their female counterparts made $103,000. So to put that in perspective, the NBA generates 167 times the revenue of the WNBA, but NBA players only earn 93 times as much as the average WNBA player. Therefore, kind of hate to say it, but President Biden is right. women aren't getting paid their fair share, because in fact, they're actually getting paid far too much.
Oh, yeah. It's yeah. right there.
Women deserve less, .jpg. That's right. I tell you what, arguments continue at the trial of former President Donald Trump in New York City. Do we have a picture from the Trump trial?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. Wow. Look at the faces. I'm sorry. Did you, by the way, did you hear that another person self-immolated over there outside the trial? Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw some stuff on the internet about that. Yeah.
Boy, things are really heating up out there.
Okay.
The press is grilling Trump on this one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, sad to say, his defense team is getting torched.
We're doing this again.
Well, the prosecution is blazing a trail. Don't you? Okay. All right. We won't make light of some mentally ill person burning themselves to death. But we will. What we will make light of is tonight's sponsor, which is Fox's. I don't know. I'm sorry. Which is Fox and Sons Coffee, which you can find at foxandsons.com. If you use promo code ITL, you get 18% off orders of $25 or more.
Wow.
Shipping's always free on orders over $37.99 at foxandsons.com. Dang. Did you know that you can actually meet Steve Fox of Fox & Sons Coffee and get...
Are you kidding me?
You can get your stuff directly from the source at the 6th annual Is Too Late live show. He's going to be there. He's going to be slinging beans. Hide your kids. Hide your wives. Yeah.
Slinging beans.
I actually have some right here. This is the Den Blend 2 Electric Boogaloo. Can we get a shot of that?
Sounds exciting. Yeah. There it is.
Oh, that hurt really bad. Oh, yeah. No, it's not the beans. I was stabbed and it's a whole thing. But anyway, that's
thing.
Yeah. Hey, we go hard down here in the South. Anyway, that's Fox and Sons Coffee. You can find it at foxandsons.com. Use promo code ITL. And finally this evening, after a week that saw... All right, here we go. The renewal of warrantless spying on Americans. There was the passage of a $95 billion foreign aid bill that had nothing in it for the nation's border. There was the ban of TikTok. Got that in there too. Pressure is mounting for the removal of Republican Mike Johnson from his role as Speaker of the House. Do we have a picture of Mike Johnson?
Yeah,
there he is right there.
Yeah, I know that guy.
Now, this is the same Mike Johnson that was actually the deciding vote on the FISA renewal. And he completely capitulated to the Democrats to fund Ukraine, which, considering that was opposed by upwards of 70% of Americans... Boy, you can really see democracy is working out pretty great right there. So, you know, what's the answer, right? So if you've been on social media the last week, because everyone's been, you know, grinding their clothes and gnashing their teeth saying, oh, my God, look at all these terrible bills that are being passed. And the Republicans are just useless. What are we going to do? All these social media influencers and political pundits are all saying, you know what you got to do? You got to vote harder.
Oh, yeah.
You got to keep a list. You know how they do? They always say, here's the congressman who betrayed America. And it's the list of people who voted, you know. They always say, you got to keep a list of the congressman who voted against your interest. You know, make your voice heard. Vote the bums out. Of course, you know, every single time someone says vote the bums out, you know, they never answer the question of how the bums got in, you know, in the first place.
Yeah.
And what's more, these same people who are staring at the failure of democracy right in the face will also tell you that it's sacred. Democracy is sacred. And the law is sacred, too. The law is sacred, too. And so you just have to obey their edicts until you can get enough people in government to stop government from doing what government shouldn't be doing in the first place. Sounds like a perfect plan.
Well, obviously.
But let me tell you what the real answer is. The real answer is to resist. Not later, now. You should work at the state level and the local level to decentralize power. You should do your best to make it so that the election of imperfect men to replace other imperfect men has as little impact on your life as possible. As opposed to telling yourself, well, shucks, guys, I guess we have to go along with all these terrible laws until the next election. That's ridiculous. That's loser talk. But of course, you know me. That's what a reasonable person would say. I have a little bit more of a militant approach, you know, because really, why worry about voting for new politicians when we could be hanging the ones we have?
Oh,
yeah.
Was that? I don't know if I should hit the laugh or.
Do you see me laughing, Dave?
Okay, we'll just
hanging.
Leave it.
All right, guys, we're going to be back with the meme of the week and the viewer mail right after this commercial break.
Go away.
Back to the show, everybody. I forgot to mention, because the event's right around the corner, we actually have a surprise for Dave that Dave doesn't know about yet.
What?
Dave is going to be getting a visit from the Tickle Monster.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to get you. I remember you talking about how much you'd love to be tickled, so the Tickle Monster is going to visit you at the event. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you.
Making me giggle.
Oh, I can't laugh. Giggling. It hurts. Yeah. Do you remember me talking about how, so I had these student loans, right, from when I went to college. And then after I graduated, they called me up and they were like, hey, you ready to pay these back? And I had said, you remember, I had said, no, I'm just not going to.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that was actually the end of it. I didn't hear from them for a long time. This one neat trick, right? So it turns out what actually happened is they put me on this income driven payment plan, and I told them, well, look, I don't have any money. So just, I'll get you next
just
time.
Go away.
You know? Yeah. I'll do, I got next, you know? And well, turns out, okay, you're supposed to, like, on an annual basis, update your income, like your new tax return or whatever. Yeah. And so, you know, tax season is upon us. I just filed my taxes. It's time to update the repayment plan. And so, man, I was just like, yeah, I was sitting here sweating bullets thinking, how can I lie and hide my income to make them think that I still am like an unemployed, you know, ex-college student. And so that I keep my payments at zero. Yeah. And then before I could even hatch my scheme, I get another letter in the mail from them that says that they have extended the deadline for when my income redriven payment plan update is due to October 25th, 2025.
Nice.
Yeah. Guys, I've got the secret. Just don't pay.
Yeah. And tell them. You got to be honest with them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm honestly telling them I'm not going to pay them. Yeah. And that's just
like, okay.
Yeah, they're like, all right, we'll have
they're
a good
okay
day
with that.
Yeah. Yeah, is the dude from Bangladesh. Yeah. Is Raj is okay, thank you, sir. And he just that's it. Yeah.
That's the end of it.
Hey Dave.
Yes, Alan.
What time is it?
Time for meme of the week. Oh. What?
Boy, cartoons used to hit hard, didn't they?
Wow.
The kids these days have no idea. But we do.
Wow.
But we do have a bonus meme. Check out the bonus meme.
What did you just put in your pocket? What was? No, I saw you put something in your pocket. What was that? What did you put in there? What was it that was in your pocket, though? Because it seemed interesting. It seemed like really interesting. What was it? No, you can tell me. You can tell me. Just tell me what's in your pocket. Let me see. Turn your pockets out really quick. Turn them out.
Real quick.
Just turn them out. What is in your pocket?
They are very direct.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and answer some viewer mail.
All right.
All right. Looks like we got about a dozen or so. How much time do we have left, Dave?
Well, after the story, like a minute and a half.
Okay. So let's just go ahead and answer them all then.
Yeah, we'll answer them all.
All right. Let's see. Gary Dykstra writes, "Dear Alan and Dave, have you had a chance to listen to Joe Rogan's interview with Tucker Carlson yet?" I actually did. Of course, you know how Rogan episodes are. They're like three hours long. I listened to the whole thing, and there's some, you know, there's some fluff in there that you don't. They can't help but talk about interdimensional vampires for a little bit, and the cosmic struggle between good and evil, and all that stuff. But there is some really good stuff in there about the intelligence agencies blackmailing congressmen to make them, you know.
No way.
Make them, you know. Yeah. So yeah, there's some good stuff in there. We should have Tucker Carlson on our show.
Yeah, I'll get him on the horn, I'll get a hold of those people. Yeah.
You know, the worst thing is though is that he can't help himself. Have you ever heard Tucker Carlson laugh? You ever heard his? He hears his. You know, that's his laugh. It's
yeah.
He'll be talking in a totally normal tone, and it's like,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's. The thing is he actually spends part of the thing talking about people that you can just instantly tell if they're fake or genuine. And I'm not saying I don't like Tucker Carlson, but anyway, Celeste Annis writes, "Dear Alan and Dave, what is your top choice when the ice cream truck rolls up?" You know what? Actually, let me tell you the truth. I have never gotten ice cream from an ice cream truck in my life.
All right. That's going in the file.
Well, okay, pardon me, sir, but I don't need a side of rape with my ice cream. We have ice cream in the house. We don't need to get ice cream from the guy in the van. Guys, you know what I'm saying?
I said different trucks.
Yeah. No, you just blocked it out. That's what happened to you.
Maybe you didn't like me.
Yeah. Andrew Avery writes, "Dear Alan and Dave, not a pun, but in recognition of Earth Day, do you consider..." Andrew, if it's not a pun, don't even write in.
Yeah.
Jonathan, actually, he does a whole thing about one of the guys who founded Earth Day, who turned out to be the Unicorn Killer. He's like a serial killer, and he murdered his girlfriend and composted her and all that stuff.
I heard that part. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, honestly, if he composted his girlfriend, then how'd he get caught? Like, where's the evidence?
Yeah. He didn't do it right.
Yeah, he's an amateur, or he talked. That's what always happens. They're so proud of what they did as they run their mouths. Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah, them.
They know.
But I just don't pay my bills. It's amazing. Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, they like it when you do it. Jonathan Carranza writes, "Dear Alan and Dave, what is your favorite burger place?" Oh, that's just got to be Jumbo House. Which, of course, people are going to find out for themselves at the 6th Annual It's Too Late live show coming up Saturday, May 18th, beautiful Columbia, Tennessee. 3 weeks from tomorrow, we'll be at Jumbo House.
That's insane.
Yeah. Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it, too, actually. Yeah. Brian Johnson writes, "Dear Alan and Dave, what's the first online game you ever played?"
Oh.
I don't know. We didn't play a lot of online games growing up. Like we played a lot of just single player, or like, remember couch co-op? Like you and your buddies would be sitting on the couch with the split screen, you know?
Well, actually, like the co-op I'd play with my cousin was where he would play and I would look at the book and like maybe go get pops. But we were a team.
Go get
what?
We
won it together. Pops.
Or those like pops. Guns? Oh, like
no.
Okay, yeah. Coke. Yeah. Got you. Jesus. Shut up, no, Yankee. My God.
Usually Mountain Dew.
Ugh. Mountain Dew.
It keeps you going, man. That's
Mountain Dew is literally just flat Sun Drop.
Appalachian champagne.
I'm proud of you for pronouncing Appalachian that way.
I go Never mind.
All right. Go both ways. Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah.
Ah, I knew it. Ah, Dave's gay again. All right. Lauderia writes, Dear Alan and Dave, what's a good wedding gift if you're broke? Now, you see, I have always, look, I've been there. You know, you get to a certain time in life where a lot of people in your same generation are having big events. There are baby showers and wedding showers and anniversaries and all this stuff. And I would just always tell people, like, well, the gift, of course, is my attending.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys can give me the gift of your attendance at the 6th annual It's Too Late live show for the low, low price of $40.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Get in on that deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to want that.
Call now.
Because it's just going up. Yeah. I know that there's at least a handful of people that have followed the show long enough to be like, this guy's just a narcissistic piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I tell him, don't you talk about my producer that way. All right. Aaron Kintner writes, Dear Alan, Dave, what color has the worst personality?
Oh, okay.
Aaron, if the colors are talking to you, then maybe we should talk about what's going on, man.
Talk to somebody, yeah.
Yeah, the colors don't, you know. But, you know, I'd probably say, like, brown.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, are we talking, like, primary colors or secondary colors? Because I think it's orange. Orange feels confrontational to me.
Yeah, but that's why orange is the best. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because orange is looking for trouble. Orange. Like. Yeah, orange is the guy that when you're walking down the sidewalk, he actually purposely walks out in front of us. Oh, you looking for trouble, buddy? Because you found it. That's orange. Yeah.
Puts his shoulder into you.
Yeah. That's why. There must be a reason why I like orange so much. I don't know. All right.
It's having a bad.
Keith McQuarrie writes, Dear Alan and Dave, do you have a favorite pro wrestler? No.
Mm.
No. Here, I'll give you another one. I've literally never watched a single length card of pro wrestling in my life. Ever. It's fake. Why would I watch that? I can watch MMA where they actually are beating each other to death.
That's fun too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty dope. Yeah. Yeah. Although there are people that actually say that the fights are rigged. So if they are, like boxing, then that's also fake technically.
Yeah.
It's not even as real as wrestling. Yeah. But if you ever see like the Olympic wrestling, like the Greco-Roman wrestling, those dudes are just get a room, you know?
Yeah. It's a little gay.
Yeah.
At least they started wearing clothes while they do that.
Yeah. I feel like that they should rename Greco-Roman wrestling to Grindr. If they named it, if they named that Olympic event Grindr, then they'd phase it out. You know, or they wouldn't.
It'd be obvious then.
Yeah, or they wouldn't. Yeah. Could you imagine being one of those dudes in your little leotard and having a exciting moment?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they're wearing cups, but
still.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been having some weird thoughts ever since I've been sweating bullets from my lower ab injury every day. Yeah. Like, I get pretty delirious after about an hour of work. So
some delusions. Yeah.
Yeah. And finally this evening, Mary Lynn Willimowski writes, Dear Alan and Dave.
Oh,
boy. When you're packing for a trip, do you plan ahead / make a list? Or do you just grab whatever, toss it in the suitcase, and say, that should do?
that'll do.
Dave, what's the story there?
All right. So every time we go somewhere, she's got a huge list and all this stuff. And I'm like, we're only gone for like 3 or 4 days. We don't need all this stuff. And it turns out usually we do need all that stuff. So I'm kind of like in the middle where I might have a little list, but my list is never like comprehensive enough. There's always something like, I should have brought that. And then she'll have it. And then I get to say, okay, you were right. That's pretty much the story there.
Okay. Yeah. But, I don't know. We're out of time, so we'll have to save that for the after party. Sorry, Mary. We'll circle back.
Yeah.
Don't you worry. Guys, we're going to be back with Tyler Yonke of the Libertarian Podcast Review right after this commercial break.
Same employer means equal pay for men and women.
No time for jokes, Batgirl.
Life would be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love, life would be a dream.
This one is for your fingers. When we wash our hands, we often don't wash them thoroughly, which can easily leave bacteria behind. This automatic finger cleaner solves this problem perfectly. It also has a finger massage function. It can even be used as a phone holder. It's so convenient.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Our guest this evening is a family law attorney, an avid cyclist, as well as the host of the Libertarian Podcast Review. It actually doesn't, it says LPR, but it doesn't say Libertarian right there, which I think is a really good branding choice on his part to just drop that word entirely. Tyler Yonke, welcome back to the show.
That is, drop, you know, just listen to Mark Claire thing, and he's talking about rebranding and, So you're right. I'm trying to drop the libertarian thing, but it's still there. But I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what to say on that.
No, that's, you know what? Let's talk. We're going to bring you guys up in the next segment. We'll pin that for right now. You know, all I was going to say is that my opinion for a long time has been that, like, this is not a libertarian program. I happen to have my own political views, but that's not really the theme. The theme is, look how retarded this is. That's really the theme. You know, who I am as a person really is irrelevant, you know?
And so the idea is, you know, because things change, your show changes a bit, at least for me, and I don't want to be pigeonholed. But I have that. And so I don't want to like rename everything. You know, YouTube, it's got that name on there.
Yeah.
So that's really the problem. It's a laziness thing. You know, I got married, almost 12 years ago. My wife didn't change her name because we were whatever. And now it's just hasn't been done and it needs to be done. And it's a lame excuse. And that's where I am on my show. It's like, so I don't know.
Yeah, no. Hey, you don't have to explain any of that to me. When we did our name change from the Gold Standard to It's Too Late, which, by the way, has been like five plus years now since we did that.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of people, like, people got visibly upset. They got angry because we changed the name, like, oh, well, whatever he's calling his show these days, which, by the way, people were saying that like 2 years after we had changed the name. And also, I kind of have a sneaking suspicion those people saw maybe 2 episodes ever of the show. Like, why are you so emotional? We're not going to talk about that.
You know what it is? It's like it's in their podcast feed or whatever, and suddenly they're confused. And when you confuse people, it doesn't sit well. And then they want to lash out, and then they want to make comments. And yeah, so LPR. I just tried. And you know, by the way, another thing to kind of change the name for ease. One is that you have some flexibility. Like, yeah, I'm a libertarian and I kind of put myself in that hole. But ease of searching. So if you go to Rumble and you just put LPR, boom, I pop up first. So that's a kind of a thing to do as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll play devil's advocate and say, you know, it's mostly men, and a lot of men don't like change. And so we'll just leave it at that. Speaking of not leaving it at that, so you and I were talking about some potential topics for today, and you had mentioned that there was some interesting arguments going on in the Supreme Court involving January 6th protesters. So what's going on there?
So, they made the arguments. And so if anybody is just ever interested, you can go over to supremecourt.gov, I think it is, and you can listen to their oral arguments on a daily basis. They just had yesterday, they talked, it was Grants Pass v. something, some, and it's basically the city in Oregon, Grants Pass, trying to regulate, have a city ordinance to kind of deal with the homeless, okay?
Okay.
So you can't just go and camp anywhere, and it's really about sleeping. And the oral arguments are just stupid, as you can imagine. So I was listening to that. But on the 16th earlier, they had arguments, and I'm trying to – I don't remember the exact name, but you could just go on there and check that out. And it's the January 6th. Okay, so if you go way back in time machine here, to what, 2002 or so, there was a big Enron scandal. I don't know if you remember about that.
Yeah, sure.
Krugman, by the way, was on the board. He got paid like $50,000 a year, but it was a whole scandal, this Enron thing and Anderson Consulting. And I think they shredded documents. It was, trying to after the fact, when this investigation is going on. So Congress comes in there and they decide we're going to, as they do, they're going to write a law that's going to fix everything. And it's Sarbanes-Oxley. So if you've ever had to deal with finance, you have to go through certification stuff and you have to understand what Sarbanes-Oxley is all about. And one of the provisions in there is destroying evidence or something like that of an official proceeding. Okay. So January 6th comes around. And by the way, it's all for financial crimes. I mean, that's the whole idea for it. The geniuses with the January 6th, they decide we're going to use this one little provision. It's like U.S. Code 1525C1 and 2 or something, that clauses 1 and 2. And it they use this clause so they can have felony convictions for a lot of these J6ers and extenuate their sentences, so like by 20 plus years on a lot of them. So one of the J6ers appealed this. The appeals court actually said, yeah, this is bullshit. And then it got put up to the Supreme Court. So they're arguing about this, and it really turns on this word otherwise. So one provision talks about, destroying not evidence necessarily, but in a proceeding. And then it says otherwise, and it's kind of a catch-all. So you can imagine the mind-numbing arguments over this word otherwise in this second provision. And does it relate to the first? And anyway, it's... I hope it gets turned over because obviously we can talk about the Trump stuff as well. That case, you're basically weaponizing the law to be used in ways it has never been done before. And, some genius attorney out there finds this little clause and says, we can use this. And they put it before the court. And, the judges are too timid or too useless in a lot of senses with these J6 ones, at least. And they just go along with it. So it would be interesting if it gets overturned. Now, even if it does, there's been some judges that have said, because they've gone back for it since it was overturned in the appeals court, someone went back to the sentencing judge and they're like, okay, this is turned over. Now you should reduce her sentence. And he's like, we'll wait and see if it goes to the Supreme Court. But if they do overturn it, what I'm going to do is just look at your sentencing and either change it from concurrent to consecutive or consecutive to concurrent, where it runs so it just extends your time out. So nevertheless, it's going to be the same amount of time in jail either way. So, the crooks are at it still, unless you don't think J6 was a problem.
Well, I mean, that's interesting. So as you were explaining that, because I know that you're trying to lay the groundwork for how we got from point A to point B. But the first question that pops into my head as you're explaining that is that my understanding of the Supreme Court, and it's very limited because I just think of them as judicial temple monkeys, and that's about as far as I care, people are always appealing to, hey, I want to raise this to the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court can choose to hear or not hear things. So why did the Supreme Court decide to rule on this at all? If the appellate court had already said, yeah, we're going to overturn this, this is BS, why did SCOTUS pick it up in the first place?
I'm not sure exactly why, but you're right. And if you actually go back, and I'm sure you and your connection with the 10th Amendment Center, you can verify some of this, which is the Supreme Court is supposed to be the superior court. or there's the ultimate court in the land, but it was never intended to be doing review of state court. So I mentioned here to begin with an ordinance in Oregon. Why is the Supreme Court reigning over this at all? Well, your 14th Amendment problems and just in general, and so it shouldn't have. Now, the J6 one is an incident where it's under federal law, and so they have, even in my originalist jurisdiction ideas, they still have the reason to do so. Now, there's some cases they don't want to take, the Supreme Court that is, some they do. You see that with, you know, Dobbs, as an example, the overturning Roe v. Wade. We just never thought we would get here. Sometimes they take a lot of gun cases, and then there's times that I don't know why they took this one, other than sometimes there's sometimes when you when you're appealing up to the Supreme Court, you're specifically doing it out to a certain judge in your district, and then they're able to decide this or not. I don't know all the ways about why it comes about. I'm just telling you it did come here. So now we are taking on this case, which I think is a good thing. It shines a little bit of light. But even then, I was just, you know, listening to some of the arguments, and one of the guys is like, look, they're using this in a novel way that's never been done before. And of course, there's the four females on there. Barrett, she's okay. She's like kind of the Republican one. You have Kagan, Sotomayor, and Brown Jackson. And they're kind of just, I think, useless. And one of them's like, yeah, but we've never had this before where, you know, and I don't know if she used the word insurrection, but she's like, you know, so much violence trying to not allow for the certification of an election. So anyway, that's where we're at.
Well, okay, so there to break this down into kind of like two separate categories, there's the law side of it. And then there's the judge prosecutor side of it. So you were explaining how the judge was basically saying, okay, yeah, it looks like this might be overturned, but I'm going to rule in such a way where essentially this isn't going to help your cause. Like, sure, there may be some legalese involved, but you're still going to be going away for X number of years because, you know, you're a violent insurrectionist and all that. A topic that we had talked about on the show with Suzanne Sherman, another lawyer, Jesus Christ, another lawyer who's been on the show. Yeah, I know, right? And one of the topics we covered in the past was prosecutorial misconduct and, you know, the difficulties that a not just defendant, I mean, anyone faces when a prosecutor or a judge is doing something they shouldn't do. Because if you're the defendant, you're already, I mean, you know how it is, right? You're already being driven to the poorhouse because you're going up against the state who's going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at you. Yep. And you're there with your court-appointed lawyer who's wearing shorts and a t-shirt. It's me. I'm your court-appointed lawyer. And so I'm going up against the federal prosecutor, whoever it is. And then on top of that, you find out, oh, well, there was some prosecutorial misconduct, or, oh, they withheld evidence or whatever, or, oh, the judge is not ruling or sentencing correctly. I mean, where does somebody even begin to confront those types of issues? Or is the simple answer is they don't. Good day.
a few little items here, which is, especially criminal issues, your court-appointed attorney, while they're the public defender, they're still getting paid by the state. The judge is being paid by the state. This is the anarchist in me, right? The DA obviously is being paid by the state. So you're up against it. And it's just one reason I don't do that kind of law anymore, because it's, you know, you talk about O.J. Simpson. Oh, look how much money he had to spend. Yeah. And the city of Los Angeles spent, what, 3 or 4 times more than that? And they still didn't get a conviction. Now, but if he didn't have that money, you know, you would be really under it. So, and by the way, you can try to get a judge disqualified for, as an example, when I do family law mostly. So a lot of times we have commissioners. Those aren't judges. They're just a little bit different. And you can request, you have to consent for a commissioner to do your case. Once you've consented, you're down that rabbit hole. You can't stop. But if you want to disqualify or go have a judge, that's not a problem. The commissioner usually makes that decision. But if you want to have a judge removed for cause, you have to make your case to that judge that is going to either say yes or no about him being removed, him or her. So one, you just pissed them off and said, you know, if you say, oh, you're not, you've got all kinds of problems, you're not fair. Okay, now you've got to do this to begin with. And then they rule against you. And then you sit there the whole time with them looking at you going, oh, you don't think I'm fair, huh? Interesting. So you're screwed in that. Let me just say this too. Do you even fight it? I got in the mail just this week a letter from the IRS. Okay. And it said on there, misappropriated $10 from your 2018 tax return. Now, I own my own business. You know, there's a lot of write-offs you try to do. You try to make this, you know, sure. So your taxes are what they are. I don't want them digging into it, but they said $10. And I got that notice in December and I paid it because it's 10 bucks. Who cares? Today, this week, I got that same thing in the mail and it said, oh, since we didn't, we have to apply taxes and penalties and it's $1,859.
Wow.
So it's similar to the judge thing. How do you fight this? Oh, no, why don't you look through my return from 2018 and dig through there? And that's no, I'm just like, it's going to cost me more. I'm stuck. What do you do? Do you really push back against this power structure? I don't know if you do. So in other words, maybe not in your own case, but it's fine to be advocating for changes in policies that affect you, maybe how judges are elected, maybe how long they're on the board, maybe the oversight committees, those kind of things. It's very difficult to do when it's your own case, even though it's real personal and specific, but that probably isn't the time to do it. I don't know if that helps.
Well, and so the other aspect of it I wanted to talk about is that, so the law itself, you're citing an example of where, you know, something's being used in a novel way. They're taking this little sentence from, you know, they're dusting off, you know, the old tome from the library saying, okay, well, on page 347, section 2D, it says this about, you know, financial crimes. Therefore, you who toured the Senate building without a tour guide, you have to go to prison for 40 years or whatever right. it is that. So in your opinion, how often in a situation where that happens, because you hear that you use the phrase yourself, you talk about weaponizing the justice system. That's something that's being talked about a lot lately. And yeah. we could talk about that too, and talk a little bit about the Trump trial as well. But when you hear that phrase and you see an example like the one you cited, how often is it that law was written explicitly with poison pills in it to go after people, versus how often is it that it may have been originally written in good faith, but then actors who are not acting in good faith are actually, you know, logging hours in the library looking for ways to screw people?
I the 14th Amendment is a perfect example. Okay. So, and because I think there, and I'll just say that there was the, Civil Rights Act, 1864, 60, whenever, 65, somewhere in there. It got passed, but it was basically not constitutional because there are multiple southern states that weren't even involved. So they're like, ratification's a problem. So let's do this 14th Amendment. Even that had some ratification problems. And it wasn't intended to do what it's done, which is to incorporate all these things up to the federal government, the 1 through 9 amendments, as an example. But it's been done, and it just slowly gets done. And next thing you know, the historical context doesn't even make sense. Even in the arguments for this case about J6, they're talking about the provision and how it is written in there, because the guy's like, because Kagan says, oh, this sounds like it's a backdoor, it's kind of a poison pill to make sure it catches everything. He goes, but you had that in all these other provisions before it. It was just, it wasn't well written. And I think that's part of the problem too. I don't know that a lot of it is nefarious when it goes in there to be, you know, the initial drafting of it. I mean, some of these laws, or even the way we write them as attorneys, you know, there's intent that you'd be, and then, you know, could be misconstrued later on, or maybe you just didn't have the proper construction of the way you wrote it. And then it utilizes this door for someone to come in and go through. I don't know what percentage, you know, I just assume that everything's evil that they're doing in the federal government in general. So I don't know if it's all intended to be evil, but the fact that they're doing it by virtue of how this structure is, I think is a lot of times an evil process. So.
Well, okay. So on that note, let's touch a little bit on the whole Trump trial or trials plural that's going on right now. So again, you hear that phrase all the time. Oh, they're weaponizing the justice system. So in your professional opinion, how much of the legal challenges that Trump is facing, you know, you can just give it as a percentage. What percentage of the challenges that Trump is facing are genuine crimes that he may have committed, and it could be a crime as in, oh, it's a $200 fine, he jaywalked. I don't care. What percentage of it is crimes he may have committed that he should be on trial for, versus what percentage of it is things that no one in his position would have been on trial for, before 2024?
I don't know how many cases are there. Let's just say there's four. Let's say there's the one in Georgia, the tampering with the election. There is the rape case that he already went through. There is the taking classified documents. Mm-hmm. And then there's this one, hush money, which is wrongly stated because it's not about hush money. I would say 50%. And what I mean by that is the Georgia one should be thrown out. That's bullshit. That's the tampering with the election. That's completely bullshit. The rape liability one should have been thrown out. That's total bullshit as well. They, matter of fact, they extended, I think, the statute of limitations from COVID to even get this. So I made that comment before, which is, if when you look at it, Trump was part of this emergency, you know, problem that he COVID comes about and he has a national emergency, and then New York and all these other states are then able to extend statute of limitations, and then they go and screw him with that. So those two are no. The taking of the documents, I think the letter of the law is, and this is exactly the same as this hush money one. The letter of the law, he probably violated it, okay? Now, the hush money one, which is paying Stormy Daniels, but he did it through hiring an attorney, and then that attorney pays someone else to do something, and they're like, oh, they also have this group that is trying to hush, you know, not just her thing, but hush everything that the bad news about him and buying stories off. Well, those, both of them have that is selective prosecution, because Hillary Clinton paid for the Steele dossier story, which was out there. I mean, that's you know, you can't tell me that none of these other elected officials did anything different than what Trump has done. He just is being, you know, put up on the petard for it. And same with the documents. You know, look at that. That's exact correlation with Biden has done those, but he's okay and Trump's not. So, and by the way, Trump doesn't hire the best attorneys, even though he says he does. Evidently, he's farting in court. We've got all kinds of problems here. And it looks like to me he actually was doing, you know, stuff through his attorney, and his attorney is stupid for even jumping in on this, and then he rolled over on him. But once again, those are all aspects of just kind of stuff that goes along, goes down. And yeah, he got rolled up, in my opinion. And I'm not big into all these cases, but he got rolled up into the scenario where he just thought he wasn't going to get caught, or it doesn't matter because we're elected officials that just do this stuff. So that's my take on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is that, you know, with full disclosure, I do think that he's just being targeted for political reasons. I don't doubt that for a second. With that said, when I hear somebody make the argument of, well, you know, technically he may have done X, Y, and Z, but, well, Hillary Clinton wasn't prosecuted for X and Biden wasn't prosecuted for Y, I can't help but to hear like the old school marm in my head saying, oh, but we're not talking about Hillary and Joe Biden. We're talking about Donald Trump. And it's like, well, you know, as technically correct is the best kind of correct after all. So I guess what I would say to kind of put a pin in that and move on is, at the end of the day, do you think they're going to stick anything on him?
So let me just say about that one part real quick, because it's not so much, you know, oh, I murdered someone and I got caught and they didn't. Da, da, da. This is really about driving over the speed limit, going the flow of traffic. That's really what Trump is doing. He's just doing what everyone else is doing. And now they decide that they're and same with the J6 thing, this Sarbanes-Oxley, you're not going to use it for BLM. You're not going to. And one of the justices actually said, what about pulling a fire alarm during Congress to stop a vote, which Bowman had done?
Yeah,
Jamal,
sure.
So, you know, it definitely is selective prosecution, and that pisses me off. And it, anybody, you know, nothing you want more than when you go to court and you read a statute is to understand that this is how it's logically going to be applied, and then you can prepare for it or live your life, you know, accordingly. So how many of these are going to be stuck to him? I think there, and in this one in New York right now, there's a possibility that I think it was all during the time he was president. So there is an argument that he shouldn't be prosecuted for any of the things he was doing while president. So that will be an interesting part there. I think he's going to get stuck. I honestly think he's going to get stuck with some of this, and it may put him over the top for the win regardless. And then we'll see what happens. You know, the problem is, some of these are state court issues. The president didn't have the right to pardon anybody. That's got to be the governor for a state issue. So I don't know. He'll get nailed with something. Are we going to see him in jail? Maybe.
Okay. All right. Well, On that note, one more quick one before we take our break. In your professional opinion, how many miles per hour over the speed limit can I drive without being criminally prosecuted?
Eight.
You think eight's the number? So if you're doing nine, you're running a risk.
I don't do traffic, you know.
Well, yeah, stuff. I don't expect the lawyer to admit on tape that he's breaking the law, but yeah, sure.
No, that's not what I mean.
Okay.
I mean, I don't practice this kind of law. So there aspects of this that, you know, but it's typical, right? It depends. If you're in a school zone and you're going 8 miles an hour, you might get screwed. Whether in, you know, you're out in the highway 65 and you're going 8 miles an hour, you're going to be just fine. So know your circumstances and your situation. There you go.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, guys, we're going to be back with more from our friend Tyler Yonke of the Libertarian Podcast Review right after this commercial break. Don't go away. It's Too Late with Alan Mosley is proudly supported by Fox & Sons Coffee. Fans of It's Too Late use code ITL and receive 18% off orders of $25 or more. Shipping's always free on orders over $37.99. So get yours today at their website, which is www.foxandsons.com. It's www.foxandsons.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. All right, so you are telling me that you believe that on net, the more that Trump gets stuck with in terms of being politically prosecuted, that on net, that increases his chances of being the next president.
I don't know. I'm really full of it. As I was saying it, I was like, man, that sounds... I do believe that when you... and this might be with the... You're going to love this. The black vote, you know, there is evidence out there, and maybe it's anecdotal that, you know, the more he gets stuck with things, the more that the black community seems to like him, perhaps for whatever reasons, you know, read into that how you want.
He's just like us. Yeah.
You're right. I mean, when you figure out why, like I watched something today on the Trump trial. And it was watching two guys. They're going to break it down. And the thing they had is Trump's attorney totally messed up some evidence or something. And then they never talk about that. They're just it's a prosecutor and whatever. And they are just they're so out on the fringes of this. They can't understand how anybody else in America might be looking at this, which is, this seems kind of shitty. I mean, the gag order itself. The gag order is on Trump. Usually they put gags so that to protect the victim from like on the news or something or press, so they're not talking about it to, you know, protect a witness, to protect the victim. This is the state putting the gag on one of the actual person on trial, which is kind of mind-blowing to me as well. So I don't know. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't help him.
Now, see, I don't have data in front of me. This is the type of thing that's like, man, if I had somehow knew we were going to bring this up, I would have tried to look it up. I would be willing to guess that people who drive 8 miles an hour under the speed limit are more likely to cause collisions than people who drive 8 miles over the speed limit. You'd agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And part of it is because when I see that happening, I try to make them wreck.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, perfect.
No, I hate the slow driver. Go with traffic at least, or if you are slow, get over to the right. Don't get in anybody's way. Were you ever told this? Like, hey, learn to drive defensively. I think that's bullshit. So I used to do, still do bike racing, and you're always looking for kind of an out. You're always looking around your surroundings for situations where you have to kind of escape. And I drive like that as well. And I think it helps you because you're driving offensively. You're actually looking for the accidents that may or things that are going, and you're looking for an escape. Whereas a defensive driver, I just think of it like an old lady, perhaps, or you know, a Karen type. They're always just like on the defensive. It's always your fault, and they're going to cause more problems. Yeah, I agree.
Well, yeah, I think the driving defensively thing is, I'll give you a perfect example. So there actually is a school zone right down the road from where I live. And that school zone is on a 55 mile an hour road. and it's right off that road is the school. So you know how it is that even though technically the schools are like an offshoot of that, that whole area is a school zone, and it's like 25, whatever it is.
So you're allowed to be there even with Megan's Law? That's
exactly right. Shut up. But the thing is you will have people who either it's a combination of they're just not paying any attention. Imagine that, distracted drivers. Yeah. Or they just decide, because there's also a red light at this intersection where it's 25, and they just decide, well, you know, I'm going from 55, which AKA actually means 70. I happen to go from 70 to 25 back to 70. I'm just going to stay at 55 and literally drive in the yield around everyone. So when I think of defensive driving, I'm thinking of you're looking out for those people in the hopes that they crash so that you then drag them out of the car and beat the shit out of them, because they genuinely were putting people's lives at risk by doing something that was so over the top, you know, not obeying traffic law.
We could just be talking about semantics here. I mean, you know what? Put the pedal down, you know, live a little.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of living a little, so one of the things that I wanted to talk about this week, even though we're almost completely out of time, is there was a lot of activity in Congress in the past week that still has people's blood boiling as we speak. Of course, there was the renewal of FISA Section 702, which, of course, Speaker Mike Johnson was the tiebreaker vote, which, boy, what a champion he is. There's also, of course, the $95 billion foreign aid bill, which as of this moment, it passed the House. It hasn't passed the Senate yet, but it's going to. They have the vote. So that's $61 billion for Ukraine, $26 billion for Israel, and $8 billion for Taiwan, because, boy, you can tell who the least favorite child is in that group, which, of course, you know, gives us video clips like this right there. You gotta love to see that in the People's House in the United States, people chanting Slava Ukraine and waving flags. And that also brought us this tweet right here by Thomas Massie. So he had tweeted out the video saying, you know, look at this abomination. And apparently it is a congressional rule that they're not supposed to do that. Imagine that. You're not supposed to wave foreign flags while you're working in the House. And he said, instead of fining Democrats for waving flags, the House Sergeant at Arms just called me and said, I will be fined $500 if I don't delete this video post. Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson, really wants to memory hole this portrayal of America. Do you think that that image and what's going on right now is really quantifiably different than what's been going on in Congress for decades, or is it just more visible?
Yeah. So let me get this right. So we gave money. That's the new axis of evil, right? Ukraine, Israel.
Yeah.
I mean, and
well, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Taiwan. Yes.
No, it's no different. I think that you know, we just never saw videos like this before. I don't know. It's so disturbing, especially, you know, I come from the fiscal conservative background. I'm still that way, but it's really just infuriating to see the right jump on some of this, you know, given the money, because it's insane. It's not like we're living in time. You know, a few years ago, California had a surplus. And then, of course, now we don't. And there's a reason why, because you treat your money like this. It's just insane to me that what they're doing. So you got all these homeless, you've got all, you know, high inflation, you've got all these problems, and we're just going to be dumping them, and then the border down, you know, south as well. So, but then they're just going to be giving the money, and it's really, I don't know how we get into all this without stepping on, but that the anti-Semitism claims just aren't doing it anymore. So I think you're going to get a lot more backlash for, you know, I didn't even know about Taiwan. You told me that. That's news to me, right? Because you hear the two bigger ones, which is a lot more money. And it's disturbing. Has it been going on? I think it's been like this for years, you know, going way back. It just seems more open now.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is I think, I mean, I'm glad that Thomas Massie says what he said. That was something I had in my notes, is that, you know, do you think that it's good to have someone like a Thomas Massie going postal, metaphorically, of course, about some of these things, you know, being very transparent, saying, hey, this is what they said to me. This is what happened behind closed doors. Take a look at my peers in Congress here. Look how they're acting. And so look, I share his frustration, but I think some people, by some people, I mean the neckbeard libertarian types, they would say that, well, You know, you're are you angry because of what happened, or are you just angry because they're not displaying the correct decorum? Because by our estimation, things like this have been happening for decades. They maybe didn't wave Ukraine flags when they did it, but they've been voting the same way.
Yeah, so it's I don't give a shit about the decorum. I mean, these are the people that just had two staff workers, you know, banging each other on video up there. So I don't really care about the decorum. It's the pulling down the mask or the pants, you know, to do this. You know, there's multiple 10 or so years ago, you started to see, you know, socialism was a bad word, and suddenly Bernie Sanders comes in and then everyone's talking about it like it's no big deal. And it's like, okay, I'd rather them just embrace what they're doing. And they're exactly doing this. I mean, that's it's crazy. And by the way, I posted things out because even Walsh, the Daily Wire guy, he's like, you know, this is you shouldn't be doing this. You know, you should be kicked out of Congress. So I posted Brian Mast in a IDF uniform in Congress and said, and what about him? Because it's all the same. I mean, you wouldn't want a person in a Russian outfit. You know, that's where we draw the line, because, you know, Russia is ultra bad. Anyway, I'm just glad that they're showing themselves, and I would rather have that than I guess being a little bit more behind. But then it makes you wonder, what are they still hiding if this is what they're willing to show?
Yeah. Well, we'll actually get to that maybe here in a second. Well, since you brought that up, I had mentioned to you that I literally just finished watching Tucker Carlson's appearance on Joe Rogan, which Joe Rogan he has to be the happiest leprechaun that ever lived.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that to his face, of course. He'd beat the shit out of me. Yeah. But there was some fluff in there, and, you know, they couldn't help themselves but to talk about interdimensional vampires and Alex Jones just a little bit. I mean, you know, you got to have some of that. But they talked about genuine concerns of good and evil, and you know, in the spiritual supernatural aspect of it, and of course obviously how that ties into politics, and it kind of gave me a question that I think I'm going to start asking guests from now on, because I think it's a genuinely good question that a lot of people will dismiss, but I don't think it's the kind of question that should be dismissed. And that is, do you think that the people whose political beliefs are the exact opposite of yours? So try to think of someone who is diametrically opposed to you, your worldview, your culture, your heritage, everything. That person. Do you think that those people are evil?
So I used to, and I don't anymore. And it depends, because I was thinking about this. You were talking about Massey. I was watching a Jimmy Dore thing the other day, and they played a Massey thing, and they go, "We love Massey." Like, I can't remember a thing that he said that, you know, is we disagree with. And I'm like, I know they disagree with him on a lot of issues, but when you see him as such an honest broker, I think, you know, by posting what he did, you tend to trust that. Now I tend to trust them on a lot of stuff, and Jimmy Dore or Metzger. And the reason is I'm watching them that they, I think they're, you know, we did this whole thing with the Supreme Court, and we just talked about it. And one of the aspects that comes out, and you see the both sides jumping on, and they're dishonest with each other, is like the illegal alien, the gun rights, right?
Sure.
Everyone's completely wrong. I did a complete show on that one, and I think I broke down how Bruin is and why this. I think this was actually a good ruling, and people are just wrong on both sides, and they jump on the bandwagon, and they're dishonest with that. Are they evil? Perhaps, because their motive is to get you in a different direction. And then you see some of these people that I disagree with, you know, they're lefties, and they will take each individual issue and they will analyze it as best they can. And sometimes we agree completely. And that's the problem. I used to think also, you know, growing up the conservative type, which is, you know, the middle of the road person, the independent thinker, they don't have any core. That's what Rush Limbaugh used to say. Oh, they're swayed by anything because they just put their finger up in the wind. I'm like, okay, there's still principles you have, but issues come along, and sometimes you've got to say, okay, this side has it. And before, I would always say, no, they're completely evil. I know this doesn't go along with what Pete Quinones says, which is, you know, never disagree with someone to your right, or always, you know, allies to your right. But you can have those people to your left that you may be allied with on some things, that maybe just how you go about that alliance. That's the way.
Well,
do you think they're all evil?
You know, well, see, that's the thing is that because we've had this debate on the show before. Tom Woods and I discussed this at great length, the whole stupid versus evil debate. You know, everyone knows the phrase of, you know, don't attribute to malice what could be described by ignorance or stupidity, whatever. Yeah. And that was a fable. That was a word of wisdom that you were supposed to learn so that way you didn't walk around thinking everyone who disagreed with you was evil. But, you know, in current year, boy, there sure are a lot of people that disagree with me that Yes, I do. I won't say that they're all evil, but I think a lot of them are genuinely evil. And, you know, and it's like, what is evil, right? Like, because in the real world, evil people aren't wearing a top hat and twirling their mustache going, ha, 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 ha. You know, like that's cartoon evil. That's not real evil.
No, that's real.
Yeah.
Let me do an addendum here, which is I guess it would depend on what it is and what that disagreement it really is about, right? Well, you're going to take a vax. Okay, or I'm going to kill your child or send them overseas to fight. Okay, those are perhaps evil things. Okay, so yeah.
Well, so like I'll give you like an example or two that Tucker Carlson had brought up because he is somebody who he would describe himself as saying I used to be he describes himself as a secular person to this day. He obviously he grew up in the belly of the beast. He's originally from San Francisco and then spent a lot of time in DC, and he did not challenge a lot of mainstream political views until a little bit later in life. But he has come to the opinion that a lot of these people are evil. And the examples he gives is, you know, like take for instance, somebody that's pursuing something purely for financial self-interest. Like, oh, Nancy Pelosi wants this appropriation because she got some kickbacks of X amount of money, or she's got some insider trading tips. Like, that may be, you know, morally or ethically wrong, but I'm not sure it's evil because you can understand it, right? Like, she wants money. Yeah. And so she's getting money. I can understand why she's doing it. But there's people that do things that it's like, well, there's not really a profit motive. They don't stand to gain by doing what they're doing. It's more that they're trying to change you. They're trying to rule over you. They're not going to get any bonuses to their bank account. They're doing it because they want to control you. That's sinister. That's different.
Yeah, there's that part. And I think, you know, maybe it's the whole concept of, you know, don't take down the fence in this field until you understand why it's there. You know, so some people may advocate for something. Hey, I want money for, you know, Ukraine or whatever it is. Or we need to protect their sovereignty at all costs, which could mean my kids are going to fight, you know, you're conscripting them or whatnot. So it depends. But once again, I think they're all evil. Let's just go back.
Yeah. See, exactly. I'm so glad I was able to sway you on this. Clearly, they're all evil.
Oh, I don't know if there's a need to sway me. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, one last thing before I let you go, because this was something else that they kind of delved into right towards the very tail end of that 3-ish hours or whatever they do typically for Rogan, is they were talking about Congress people and the intelligence community, the intelligence agencies and that sort of thing. And that at the end of the day, if you do get to have an honest conversation with, we'll say, one of the good ones, like, you know, I'm not going to say if you're going to be pedantic, it's not all. I don't think Thomas Massie is evil. I think Thomas Massie's great. So, there is at least a few non-evil people in Washington, D.C. But Tucker Carlson was saying he was talking to an unnamed person who was in Congress. And Tucker was saying, I'm really upset because they're passing all this BS. And, you know, why do these people who say this then turn around and vote on this? Are they just bought off? Are they afraid that they're going to wake up and find kiddie porn on their computer that mysteriously got put there and then they're getting a knock on the door from the CIA? And this person responded, yes, actually, that is the case. A lot of them are absolutely terrified of the intelligence agencies. Do you believe genuinely? Because this isn't really a short question, because it's one of those questions of a lot of people will not want to reckon with the answer of, do you believe that's true? Do you believe that there are threats and people being controlled by the deep state and the intelligence community? So first of all, do you believe that, yes or no? And then second of all, do you think that a lot of people aren't willing to reckon with that question, because then that question opens up a lot of other issues and questions?
Yes and yes.
Perfect. All right. Well,
so let me expand just a tad bit. So yes, that is definitely happening. And one way that it really brought it to, I mean, it's always out there, but if you ever saw The Man in the High Castle, it's kind of a futuristic take on alternate universe. If the Nazis actually and the Japanese actually won World War II. So they're in America, and America's split between the East Coast is ruled by the Third Reich and the West Coast is ruled by Japanese. And they're in the and so a lot of Americans that were involved in, you know, for the U.S. have now they take up part with the Third Reich. And J. Edgar Hoover is in charge of a lot of this deep state stuff still. And he's doing the exact same things that you would expect him to do to get his, you know, like, oh, you've done something salacious. You just show him a little of this. You show him, you know, this document. Look at this. And, you know, we know back in history that's that was happening a lot. Why would it not be even more high tech and more deep seated now? It's of course that's the case. So and do people not concern themselves with it? Yes. You know, the Daily Wire, Jeremy Boring just tweeted out because he was taken on, I think it was Tucker, and that's in, you know, basically downplaying, like, don't pay attention to him because, you know, if you're saying certain things that are crazy, now we don't have to listen to you at all. And one of those, like the moon landing, and I'm like, you know, look, if the moon landing's completely, you know, fake or not, whatever, does it change my life? No. Even flat world stuff. It's like, no, planes don't just fall out of the sky then, because they've been up in the sky. If it's flat, they're still doing it. So those things don't change any of that. But that's what people sometimes are maybe thinking, because I'm not in the deep state. It's not affecting me. But now it's affecting their Trump. So maybe they will start to pay attention a little more. But look, for the reality and most people in this world, they're not sitting around doing podcasts, although almost everybody is now. They're actually going to work, taking care of their kids, and being concerned about everything else. And then there's the whole thing of, well, if you don't pay attention to politics, politics will pay attention to you. Yes, that's it. But until it really hits you in the butt and you get that $10 misapplacement that now is $1,800 interest, you know, maybe you don't give a shit.
Well, on that note, I just have to mention really quickly, you were given that synopsis of Man in the High Castle, and it reminded me of my absolute favorite edit on Internet Movie Database. They had RoboCop on there, and the synopsis for RoboCop started with, in a future dystopian Detroit, blah, 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 blah. And they went on there and edited it to just say, in Detroit. That's my favorite edit.
Yeah, exactly.
On that note, exactly. Tyler, where can people go to support you and get more of your content?
Yeah, so LPR. Go to Twitter. That's by the way, right when we're done here, I'm going to be putting out a tweet for Dave Smith. And he's going to, because I gave him this thing and he wanted to post it and he couldn't figure it out. So I'm going to, Dave, I'll be right there. I told you, give me a little bit. I'm going to post this thing out. But go to Twitter. It's just my full name, Tyler, TYLERJANKE. You can find my Libertarian podcast review. I also produce The Tower Gang. So I'm on there every Wednesday night, kind of competing against you, Alan. But yeah, that's come check out our stuff. And yeah, that's it. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it. Of course, you know, I have to get you out of here on one more. All right.
Okay, sure. Soup.
Dang it. How did you know? you're going to laugh when you hear the question now. Is a vanilla chai latte soy chai latte? Is that a three bean soup?
You just hit one of my big pet peeves, because I believe chai means, no, that's tea. Okay. I think you're good. Is that a three bean soup?
Yes.
No, because it's not heated.
Sorry. No, it isn't.
Oh, you said I thought it was iced.
You had it. You had it right. You literally, this is the first guy we've ever had that correctly answered the food question before the food question was read out loud. That's pretty impressive. Even though you, for some, just purely to troll the audience, you changed your answer to incorrect.
Yeah.
Because that's how little respect you have for the quiz.
I think it's chai is, I think that means tea. So when people say chai tea, they're just saying tea, and they're idiots.
Yeah. They're retards. You can say that. Yeah. That's fine.
But I think you said it right.
Okay. All right. Guys, we're going to be back to wrap up the show right after this commercial break. Good boy.
If you're in enjoying tonight's show, consider supporting the program by becoming a member of our Patreon. That's over at patreon.com/AlanMosley.
Like our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/AlanMosleyTV. You can follow me on Twitter. It's twitter.com@AlanMosleyTV. Subscribe to our YouTube page. It's youtube.com/AlanMosleyTV. But if you're more of a listener than a watcher, you get us on your favorite podcasting platform of choice thanks to Spotify. It's Too Late with Alan Mosley and Alan Mosley TV. Also, don't forget to get your tickets to the 6th annual It's Too Late live show. That's coming Saturday, May 18th in beautiful Columbia, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I'm worn out. That's a lot. Dave, you have a final thought?
Man, I was so lost in that interview, I almost forgot we were doing a show.
Yeah.
That's good.
I saw that momentary panic that was happening there. Yeah. After party?
Oh, we have to. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we took a week off. Got to do an after party. I'm just going to be sitting here just in agony while we do it, but we'll do it. Well, we got some important event stuff to talk about in the after party.
Yes.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for watching another episode of It's Too Late, and we will see you next week.
Man, I should have taken my suit off.
I told you.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt cute. Might change later.
You were too busy familiarizing yourself with the streets of another town.
Yeah.
10 hours away.
Past and present.
Yeah.
It's just not the same anymore.
We're still old enough to remember when you had to print your directions out on paper.
Oh,
and so
yeah,
we still operate as if we might lose GPS.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to. Yeah, you're going to need to know where you're going.